All right, I am Haggai Davis III, along with Haggai Davis II, and we'd like to welcome you to Tech Gumbo. Our show is a conversation about the past, present, and future of all things technology that we like to keep topical, interesting, and digestible. We want to thank our sponsor, Cardinal Capital, for making this possible. Cardinal Capital connects businesses to capital. It doesn't matter what business that you are in, Cardinal Capital has the resources all across the United States that are willing to help fund organizations of all sizes, life cycles, categories, and locations. Cardinal Capital works with you to craft the best commercial finance package for you to achieve your business goals. Whether you're looking to refinance current debt because of the new government programs and favorable interest rates, or finance new equipment, or maybe you're trying to acquire another business entirely, Cardinal Capital has the resources to make it happen. When lenders cannot do a loan, they seek out Cardinal Capital to help. The Cardinal Capital guys are easy to work with and fun to be around. Contact them today at 225-308-3700 or send them an email at info@cardinalcap.net, and they'll be happy to help you with your commercial finance needs.
So each week we do enjoy taking a listener question, and this listener who went to our website, techgumbo.net, to the question of the week tab, sent us the question, you guys have talked about Windows 12 a bunch. What's the update?
Yeah, good question. Back sometime in the second half of last year, we had read some articles which were predicting that we would be seeing Windows 12 sometime soon. Turns out that is not the case.
Microsoft has come out and said that the next big update is going to be a Windows 11 version 24H2. It is not going to be Windows 12. They are going to be doing a Windows 12, but just not in the year 2024.
Their argument is that Windows 12 will be AI from the ground up, that it really will be huge. It will be fantastic. Everything will be ready for AI to be native, and that Windows 12 will be revolutionary. But then I'm still on Windows 10. I've never upgraded to Windows 11. And if anything, you're just telling me that, oh, we're doing some stuff with Windows 11, but it's still not 12.
My guess is they're waiting for some new chipsets to come out that's going to make the AI inside of Windows 12 be that much faster. And so we'll stick with the naming convention of Windows 11 a little bit longer. You're going to get some new features in it. There will be some additional AI that will be jammed into Windows 11. But by and large, if you're on Windows 11 now, this 24H2 is just going to be a little bit more of the same. So thank you very much to that listener. We're so happy that you sent that question. We will be sending out a Tech Gumbo mug at no charge to you. It's a big, beautiful 20-ounce Tech Gumbo mug with our logo on both sides. If you'd like one, please go over to techgumbo.net. Go to the Question of the Week tab and send us your question. Moving on to the big story, electric cars emit more particulate pollution.
Right. So this is a story from the Wall Street Journal that came out, and they had looked at tires on electric vehicles. And their argument is that electric vehicles are heavy, which is true, and that you're burning through tires faster, and that tire pollution actually makes up a much larger problem than we traditionally give it credit for. A lot of the microplastics in the ocean, a lot of the microplastics in your body are from tires, which is just an underappreciated fact. However, what the article also maintains is that electric vehicles will not get lighter over time. That the article calls into question a lot of the modeling from the EPA and from California's agencies, and the assumption that electric vehicles will not get lighter over time is fallacious. That there's so much money pouring into electric vehicles right now, partially from the government, the Infrastructure Act, the Inflation Reduction Act. There's a lot more demand coming in from just the private sector. Electric vehicle batteries are getting better, they're getting faster, they're getting more reliable, they're getting stronger, and they're getting lighter. It is very easy to imagine 5 years from now, 10 years from now, electric vehicle batteries will be able to go 500 or 600 miles on a single charge and weigh half to a third of what they can weigh right now. And so then they will outcompete internal combustion engines. They might still weigh a little bit more, but the total reduction in tailpipe emissions, the reduction in emissions from the production of the energy itself far outweigh the additional particulate pollution created by the tires, even in the present case. And as we extrapolate forwards, we know this is going to only become more and more of a cleaner solution.
Because right now, you are right, electric cars are anywhere from 15 to 30% heavier because of those heavy batteries. And there's also, you know, a lot of talk about new tires, and so that they're not just the same black rubber that they are now, that they're newer compounds that will be, you know, staying together longer, that won't have as much of a detrimental impact into the environment the way wear and tear on the tires is today. So as of today, yes. Is it a problem that, well, maybe EVs are more of a problem today than gasoline cars? Because if you trade off the gasoline fumes, but you get tire particulate issues, okay, so I can have that argument. But you're right. If as technology continues to advance, as these cars will get lighter, as newer technologies, not just the lithium ion batteries, as we talked about recently, the hydrogen batteries, hydrogen fuel cells, you know, those things kick in and start becoming more and more reasonable. It's going to be harder and harder for the gasoline engine to compete.
Yeah, I think that that's exactly right. We really are at a threshold, at a tipping point with electric vehicles that it's such a new technology. And comparatively speaking, gasoline engines are solved. They are very well optimized. And we are eking out small gains over time. And a lot of the gains that have been made in internal combustion engines also translate over to electric vehicles in terms of battery design and transmission power, in addition to the fact that all of these battery technologies, one, they're improving for electric vehicles, but our ability to store energy in general is also just skyrocketing because there's so much demand to store solar, to store wind, to store hydroelectric power. This really, it will benefit from so many different technological advancements in a wide number of fields that this, yes, it is true that electric vehicles are not a silver bullet. It is true that they are not all perfect and have zero trade-offs, but we are very confident that there are a lot of smart people in a large number of fields who are working to make this technology better. And there's a lot of low-hanging fruit that is able to be achieved to make this overwhelmingly better than our current alternative.
And we're not anti-gasoline vehicles. I mean, I still drive a gasoline vehicle and very happy to do so. But the same way that 100 years ago, people said, oh, that gasoline engine's nothing, I want my horse. We're at that point where the gasoline engine is nearing the end of its life cycle. Not ending, nearing the end, because you're going to have other types of fuel that are going to be much more efficient. Not just about the environment, but just going to be a better technology. And that's what's going to take over. You're going to see that, whether it's EVs or hydrogen or fission or fusion or any one of the technologies that can generate power, we're going to evolve and you're going to see better, newer technologies eventually, not tomorrow, not next year, not 5 years from now. But it's the technology is evolving and we're here to watch it happen.
Absolutely. And the EVs, you know, we here in America are actually pretty far behind. A lot of other countries in the world, a lot of other car manufacturers in the world do have EVs that are on the market today that are incredibly viable products. We in America are kind of the outlier on this, and we're behind in a lot of cases. China has a large number of EVs that are functional. It's making up a large portion of their total market share, a lot of their new vehicles sold. But like any hardware that comes from China, we are skeptical of it because of its security threats, because of the geopolitical implications of Chinese computers, Chinese hardware is coming directly to America.
There's also some interesting little things, like this car will sell for less than $11,000 coming from China. Well, that sounds real interesting. Hey, I'd love one of those $11,000 cars, but I also would like air conditioning, a heater, a radio, maybe cushion seats instead of a bench.
Power windows. That, yes, the vehicle is only $11,000, but whenever you start to see what makes it $11,000, another one of the things is that it doesn't meet a lot of safety regulations. That's the reason that a lot of Chinese cars have not come to America, partially is for protectionist reasons, but we have Japanese cars, we have Korean cars, we have European cars. A lot of it is also the safety regulations. That's Americans drive much, much more today than they did 30 years ago, 50 years ago, but the deaths have remained roughly constant, and the crashes have remained roughly constant. It's because the cars themselves have gotten dramatically safer. That is saving a tremendous number of lives every year. And so it is really important that any vehicle that we import has to meet very high safety standards. And that's another one of the things, which is keeping this Chinese vehicle at this much lower price point, that you get what you pay for.
Because when you got 1.5 billion people in China, as we only have 330 million here, they're not as concerned about safety. They've got enough people over there. I mean, being silly here, that's not real. They do care about their people in China, we think.
Yes, but this type of vehicle is making a lot of ripple effects in the American economy. Apple had worked on an electric vehicle for a long time, and they have finally shuttered the project. That this had been something that went up and down for a long time, and they have officially called it quits, and they have said that they are not a car manufacturer.
Yeah, it turns out building a car is easy. Building a car that's safe to put on the highways in the United States, that's the hard part. And Apple just, they could get the car built, but then they had to give and take here, and then they had to make choices about this. And if they were going to do it completely AI and it was going to have the Apple logo on it, and now it's a $100,000 car, and you know, they couldn't get it to where they felt comfortable, so they just shut the whole program down. And now most of those people who were working on that project, they're just moving them over to an AI type project.
Yeah, Apple has no shortage of hardware products, and so those people still all have jobs, but they're just under a different roof over at Cupertino.
But that's not the only news going on with Apple. They were hit with almost a $2 billion fine in Europe over their music streaming apps.
Yes, the EU's regulating commission has said that Apple prevented users from being able to see all of the choices that were available to them in the music streaming business. And this is a $1.95 billion fine, which is larger than a lot of the experts were anticipating. But it really goes to show that over in the EU, they are very serious about their Digital Markets Act, that you are not allowed to falsely stifle competition. You are not allowed to pigeonhole your consumers into only your options, especially if there are other options that are available on the market, that are viable on the market, and they're simply not able to be accessed because of choices that you have made.
Under these new guidelines that the EU has put out, Apple will be required to allow alternative app stores to operate in its iOS system, and they're going to have to make it very, very easy for developers to accept payments through alternative processing services. So Apple's stranglehold on the App Store where all the money has to go through them, that purse string just keeps getting looser and looser.
And yeah, the EU is not the only people taking a battle axe to the walled garden, because here in the US, they were hit with a new lawsuit regarding iCloud and backups, that as of right now, you can only back up your iPhone to iCloud, that you cannot back up your iPhone to any other cloud service, and your iCloud free version only holds 5 gigabytes, which is dramatically smaller than most people's iPhones. And so you are essentially forcing people into the paid version of iCloud and not allowing them to use maybe OneDrive or Dropbox or any other cloud-based storage system. And so this is another way that Apple had completely controlled their ecosystem and no one was allowed out. But here you go. Maybe they will have to be allowed out.
This goes all the way back to the Worldwide Developers Conference in 2011 when Steve Jobs introduced the iCloud, and everybody had their 5 gigabytes of space. Well, when you're taking videos now with your phones and 4K videos now with your phones and really pictures with these 100 megapixels and 200 megapixel cameras, those pictures add up real fast in size, so you can't just live with 5 gigs on your phone anymore. You've got to have a lot of space. And if you're not somebody who's always moving those pictures off of your phone onto your computer, into your OneDrive, your Dropbox, or any one of those cloud storage accounts so you can pull it up that way, well, you've got to deal with Apple.
There's more than just your pictures and photos and videos. You're totally right that you can blow through 5 gigabytes in photos and videos very, very quickly. But it's all of your files. It's not just the fact that it's your photos and videos. Apple also just restricts a lot of your files so that they will never be able to be uploaded somewhere else. And so this is just another one of those things wherever Apple has said that you have to do everything entirely inside of our ecosystem. And I think it's overwhelmingly a win for consumers that you are now being presented with more choices. That if the Apple service really is as good as they say it is, if it truly is the superior product, then their customers will choose it. That they will say all the things that make it easy, that make it smooth, that make it the best, continue to be so, then they'll continue to choose it. But if there's things over there in the Microsoft OneDrive, if there's things over there in Spotify that are better than the Apple products, well, maybe I want most of what Apple has to offer, but little bits here and little bits there.
Yeah, so in the lawsuit, it actually says there is no technology or security justification for Apple's mandating the use of iCloud for restricted files. Apple draws the distinction only to curtail competition and advantage its iCloud product over its rival cloud platforms. Well, when you get something as plain as that kind of wording into the courtroom and people on this jury who probably have an iPhone, and they're probably going to say, well, yeah, I'd rather have the opportunity to use some of that other cloud storage. Oh, that's right. I get a whole terabyte over my OneDrive for free. Why do I have to pay you $1 a month for my iCloud or $5 because I'm over the $1 package limit? I think this is one of those things that's going to be real quick for Apple to backtrack on.
But just to finish it off, we're not here just stomping Apple. iOS 17.4 is here and has some cool stuff. You know, just one little thing I wanted to shout out was the automatic podcast transcripts. Anything uploaded to Apple Podcasts will automatically get a full transcription, which I think is a pretty cool feature. This is one of the first places where we're seeing this. And so expect this ability to, you know, listen to audio and transcribe it. As LLMs get better, this is coming to a lot more places, but this is the first time we're seeing this, and I think that that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so if you're listening to the Tech Gumbo podcast on your iPhone with the iOS 17.4 and you would like the transcript, now it will be available to you. And we want to thank General Informatics for sponsoring our show. General Informatics is an information technology firm with a mission. And that mission is to make our clients even more successful through the best use of technology. Based in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, General Informatics is a premier IT managed services provider, delivering exceptional managed IT solutions to a diverse base of customers from Texas to the Carolinas. From the beginning, we have maintained our commitment to meeting the growing needs of our clients through the continuous use of innovation. With over 20 years of experience and a team of 120 plus employees, including technicians, engineers, programmers, and designers, GI has evolved to become the leading IT partner of businesses, schools, and government agencies. Our managed services teams can run your digital infrastructure or support your team on an on-demand basis, letting you focus on your business's strength. This has become a proven formula, so proven that 98% of our clients continue to do business with us year after year. Whether you need new IT services, new technology, or you just have a question, visit us on the web at geninf.com. And if you enjoyed our show today, we're here on Talk 107.3 FM every Saturday at 4, and the show will rerun Sunday at 4. If you missed any part of our show, or you would like to hear any of the previous episodes, check out our podcast, which is available on most every platform, including Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, Overcast, Player FM, and more. And when you're there, be sure to subscribe so you'll be notified every time a new episode is posted. If you like our show, if you have some suggestions or want to submit a question, let us know by visiting our website, techgumbo.net. Thank you for listening to Tech Gumbo.